Well, greetings, friends. So it's good to be with you once again in our Wednesday Bible classes. And let me just get right into this today. As you know, we have come from our study on the Feast of Israel, or the Feast of the Lord, given to Israel. And we are gathering all of that reality up into Christ, which we have talked about in several of our sessions. And then we are looking at our union with Christ, the reality of being in Christ, and what a reality that is. We've been looking at that in the light of John 14, the whole chapter 14, and then 15, 16, and 17 as well, in the light of Paul's epistles, where in, well, just one little segment there, in 2 Corinthians 5, 17, for therefore, and that goes back to verse 14 of the same chapter, 2 Corinthians 5, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, the new is come. And so we're talking about our union with Christ, the union brought about by our salvation, and then coming to behold the reality and greatness of that salvation in the person of Christ himself. And I want to talk about that for just a while today. The completeness, the fullness, the perfection of our salvation in Christ. The completeness, the fullness, and the perfection of our salvation in Christ. And we've been looking at a number of things with regard to the reality of our being in Christ. And we have been looking at all things gathered up by the Father into the Son. That is, God bringing everything of His plan, His purpose, His intention, bringing everything of our salvation, everything of His thoughts concerning our salvation, God bringing all of that to its ultimate consummation in the person of His Son, who dwells in you and I, and He brings with Him all that He is. He brings with Him all of the fullness that He is. He brings with Him all of the completeness of all things that He is. What a mighty Lord. What a mighty God. What a mighty Savior. On and on I could go. But what a mighty reality there is set forth in us through our union with Him. Through our union with Him. So what we've been doing is relating our salvation to our being in Christ. John 14, 20, speaking of the event of his coming anew to receive them unto himself, that as he said, where I am, there you may be also. Speaking of that event of Pentecost, and I scarce even desire to call it an event, but that coming of the Lord, fulfilling Pentecost. And he said, in that day, that glorious day, of which Christ is the substance, of which Christ is the light, the day, he brought them into the day when the day of Pentecost was fully come. The only place in the scriptures that ever says that about the day of Pentecost, fully come. Yes, it was come in the fullness of Christ. Come in the fullness of Christ. Because, honey, in Christ, all fullness has come. All fullness. A-L-L. If I could, with some object, write that word over the entire visible universe, it still wouldn't be large enough. The word all is just simply summed up in the allness of Christ. But I don't want to just continue to go on and on and on that. And yet, to me, everything is based upon that. The foundation of our whole salvation is the allness of Christ himself. Our salvation is that he is in you and in me, who are born from above by the Lord Jesus, by the very Spirit of Christ. And so he says, in that day, of which he is the substance and the light, you will know that I am in my Father. What a union. And you are in me. What a union into which we have been brought by the way, the truth, the life, himself. Who said, because no man cometh to the Father but by me. You will know I am in my Father, and you are in me. And here is the fullness of that. I am in you. So I'm really pressed upon since yesterday to look at that fullness, not only into which we have been brought through our union with him, but that fullness who dwells in us. And I was going to talk to you about beholding the glory of one. We'll probably have to come back to that because I want to deal as much as I can with this fullness. And I just want to admonish you admonish you with regard to that fullness. First, let me read these verses with regard to fullness. Our salvation, hon, our being in Christ is that we are in the fullness of him. All fullness. So let me read it. And just remember that what we're reading here is who Christ himself is, determined of the Father that which the Father determined. Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come. Now, I can't stay on every one of these verses. I'm just stressing the term fullness. But we have in Christ the fullness of time. Time having come to its fullness. Time as God defined it. Time as God set it in order. All was pointing. All of it was pointing. You know, the weeks, the months of the feast that we've spent two years on now have come to, those were times given of God. There are times set in the heavens given of God as signs of the times. All of that because he used times as types and shadows and figures of that fullness which was yet to come. But has now come in Christ, the fullness of time, so that our life, our salvation is not regulated by days and weeks and months and years. The new creation in Christ is not regulated in any way by days, weeks, none of that. We do not have dispensations of time in Christ Jesus, because he came as the fullness of time. And the word so often means, and most often means, completeness. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing, because the fullness means crammed full. Nothing to be added to it. All of these things are just word definitions until you see that definition fulfilled in Christ himself. And there's nothing of our life, nothing of our salvation, nothing of God's plan and eternal purpose of which he is not that fullness, that completeness. But when the fullness of the time was come, what happened? God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And these things, what I'm looking at is the fullness of time. Everything else has to be understood as time past. Time past. Well, you say, brother, what about time future? There is no such thing. Not in Christ. There is no such thing. God designed time past, gave those times to Israel as a testimony, type, shadow, of which Christ came as the end of it. End is a good word for it. End of it. Completeness of it. Fullness of it. Hon, we have come to that fullness in Christ. Through our union with him, you are in me. And through the very union with him who dwells in us. You understand? Those are not three unions there. I and my Father, you and me, I am in you. It is just a threefold union that we have in Christ Jesus. Oh my. Let me continue. Ephesians 1, verse 10 through 12. That in the, and the word dispensation in your King James Bible should be changed immediately to administration. I'm telling you the truth. That in the administration of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him. that he might gather together in one all things in Christ, whether in heaven or on earth, in Christ, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things. And it has to be all things that he has gathered together in Christ, after the counsel of his own will, and it's that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, that in the administration of the fullness of times. I just read to you about that, when the fullness of the time was come. And that administration is the administration of the Spirit of God. Just gather it all up in your mind, hon. Gather it all up as I would in a diagram on a blackboard, and bring it all in Christ. In Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. See, we just do not comprehend how new that creation is. We want to keep comparing it to the old creation. And there is, and honestly, hon, though there's all kind of types and shadows in the old creation of the new, there is nothing that is even begins to be comparable between the two. Why? Well, you can't compare the natural sun, which is the light of the first creation, the old creation, this natural creation out here. You can't compare that to the light of the sun of the new creation. Why? Well, because God created the sun. There's just like a ball of fire. He created the sun and the moon and the stars as a type and shadow of the sun that he did not create, because this sun is equal with God. This sun, and I'm going to read to you about him. This sun is the good pleasure of the Father, in that it pleased God that in this sun all fullness, not some, not all fullness, should dwell. There is no comparison between the light of the new creation and the light of the old creation. None at all. And if you want to call the light of the old creation the soul of man, there's still no comparison. If you want to call the light of the new creation the natural understanding of man, there's still no comparison. Because the light of the new creation is the understanding of Christ. The light of the new creation is the knowledge and wisdom of Christ. The light of the new creation is the glory of Christ, because Christ is the substance of that understanding and that wisdom and that glory. Christ himself. You understand what I'm trying to tell you, hon? How totally different, how totally other our state of being is in Christ, as opposed to our state of being as it was in Adam. There simply is no comparison. And if you're not careful, you'll find yourself trying to find one, trying to have trying to understand the one, the new, by the other, the old. And you can't do that. It is nothing more than a type, a shadow, a figure, a passing figure, a passing glory. Well, one that has been brought to its end. One to which God no longer looks. No. Because the Father sees all things. All of his desire, all of his thought, all of his will, everything of himself in his Son. He has, all of that was determined before the world was. And all of that was determined before the world was. And was the foundation of the new covenant, which comes to be written in our hearts through the revealing of the indwelling eternal Word himself, who becomes the understanding of our salvation. Hallelujah. All of this being a work of the Spirit in the believer. But our whole salvation is a work of the Spirit. Now, let me move on. Ephesians 1:22. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head. And hath, not, and has planned to one day. No, look at it, what it says. This is important to us. What I want to tell you, it's important to us. And hath put all things under his feet. Hath. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all, with regard to his body. The fullness who filleth all in all. Not who one day will, not who should, not who God intended to. No. Fullness, honey, is not something he does, it's who he is. It's who he is. What does he do? He occupies our soul. He inhabits our soul. As one would inhabit his own body. As one would inhabit his own household. And we're not now talking about a natural household, but rather we're talking about the house of God. And we're talking about the house of God being a person in whom we dwell. While we can find, I say again, darling, types and shadows in the house of David and the city of the king and the house of Jesse, where David was anointed, and Israel as the household of God, or the house of God, or the old tabernacle as being what it was, and the temple being what it was, all up. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent that Son in flesh to bring all of that to its end, that he may bring forth in his resurrection the total newness of all that any of that and all of that stood for or pointed to. We have come to that fulfillment. But not only is Christ the fulfillment of all of that, he is the fullness of all of that. He is the completeness. Completeness makes it all complete. You understand? Come to its completeness of all of that. And that's not all. He lives in you. He has brought all of that into your very soul. It's important that you hear me here. Well, let's go on. Ephesians 3, 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit. This is the very Spirit of Christ in the inner man, in your very soul, where Christ dwells. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, not that you might have in your own natural mind some faith in Christ and then still are seeing him as one who is out from you and away someplace or someplace other than in you. In other words, not seeing him in a divine union where he has gathered us together as one body into himself. Oh, hallelujah. Therein is the faith of the Son of God. But you understand what I'm trying to tell you here, that he may dwell in your heart by faith. And that faith, again, is the faith of the Son of God. I looked at this verse, and looking at it and repeating it, I know it doesn't make it any more real. Only the Spirit of God can do that. By what? By opening the eyes of my understanding and allowing me to see the one who dwells in my very soul, so that in the seeing of him, the truth, the comprehension of him, which is nothing other than he himself, may dwell in my very heart. That ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend. It's a term that Paul used in Philippians 3 as well. And he used it, it's translated there in the King James as, that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of God or of Christ in him. That I may come. It's rather like that I may come to see him in the same manner by which he sees me. That I may come to his understanding concerning my union with him. His understanding. That I may come to understand that he is the fullness, completeness of my life, even as he understands that. That I may apprehend of him that for which he has apprehended me. Over and over and over we could go. Paul was saying, I want to know him. And I want to know him without restriction of disbelief or of anything. I want to know him. Consequently, I forget him, putting aside that which is behind, which he's talked about from verse 1 of chapter 3 in Philippians. Forgetting that, putting it behind, I press toward. And what is it really? The knowing of him. And I have to interject it right now. He is not pressing toward the getting of the fullness of him. He is pressing toward the knowing of him in the fullness that he is as he dwells in Paul. He is not pressing toward getting the fullness of Christ, but knowing the fullness of Christ. Rather, knowing Christ in his fullness. This is what he's pressing toward. Because, hon, Christ, who is the fullness and completement of all things, is in you. And you can't add anything to him. There's nothing to be added to fullness. But there's much to be known concerning that fullness. And there's where the breakdown comes. And you'll understand in just a little bit why I'm saying this. Well, that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the length, the breadth, the depth of height. And to know with a knowledge, let me just ad lib here, to know with a knowledge that passeth natural understanding, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. What is he talking about here? Something you haven't got? No, that you may know, that you may know, that you may know. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory by the church, or in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. That you may be able to comprehend. Now, Ephesians 4, you'll see the same thing being said here. Ephesians 4, 13 through 16. Till we all come in the unity, in the unity, till we all come in the unity of the faith. And this is in proper translation, the faith of the Son of God. Because look at the next, it's defined right here. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and are even of the knowledge of the Son of God. This whole thing again is about knowing him, knowing him, knowing him. And I'm not going to take up the rest of the session by saying what that knowing is not. You know, knowing about him, knowing this. No. Knowing him. It is an impregnation in our soul of divine love. Oh yes. Of divine seed, of impregnation, of divine wisdom, of divine person, of Christ. Of Christ. Knowing and being known of him. No wonder Paul and John both always associates that with love. True love. Wherewith God hath loved us. No wonder. No wonder. But what is the that? Why? Why is this? Look. The knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Now, you know, some want to argue about it. I don't really think it's even worth arguing about, or at least I don't argue about it, but unto a perfect man. And they'll say that means to maturity, a mature man. Okay. All right, but what is a mature man? Rather, who is the stature and measure of a mature man? It's the man whose body we are. It's the one who lives in us. It is the brightness of his glory and express image of his person. It's all going to come to Christ, darling. It's all going to come to Christ. Look at it. Look at it. Perfect man. What? Unto the measure of the stature. That doesn't mean how tall he is. It actually goes to the word age. So we're talking about the ageless one, the endless one, the Alpha, the Omega one, to the measure of the stature, here it is, of the fullness. See, honey, you cannot measure fullness except by the one whose fullness is, and that's Christ. And he doesn't come in pieces. He is either in you in fullness or he is not in you at all. I'll tell you something I wrote down here, hon. The fullness we need to be filled with is the knowledge, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Because the person of that fullness now dwells in us. And the shame of it, that's what, if Christ was not in his fullness in me, then the Spirit of God would not press upon the scriptures that are written here, and certainly would not press upon my soul the need, the glory of coming to know him in that fullness. We have folks that are trying to get fullness, and that's trying to get fullness. Trying to get what I need to get is the fullness of Christ. No, you have the fullness of Christ and you're ignorant of it. And I'm ignorant of it. But he doesn't come in pieces and parts. He doesn't come in measurements, though I may have a measure of the knowledge of him. He himself is the fullness of the knowledge of God Almighty. And he's in you, hon, and he's in me. And under the old, he was in glory, in type, in shadow, hidden with a veil. But there is no veil in Christ. Paul makes that clear. Which veil is taken away, done away in Christ. So that we, with a heart and soul, a face turned, may behold him in his glory. Where? Where he is. In you. In his body. In his house. Now I think some that insist that, no, we haven't yet come, you know, we haven't gotten the fullness of Christ. We need to get the fullness of Christ. Well, I think what they're doing is looking at the religious church world for their example. Or they're trying to find that in a person. They may be trying to find it, God forbid, in themselves. Because, what an elevated idea of themselves they are coming to. Yeah, I've seen that go right into the deal where they finally say, see, it's Christ in me as me. No, no, thank God it isn't. And never will be. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. To that perfect man whose body we are, that perfect man who dwells in his body, and the whole of the moving of the Holy Spirit is to show him in his perfection to those in whom he dwells. but the enemy of our souls. Now, I don't mean anything ugly by this, but the enemy of our souls has blinded the minds of many in Christianity to not looking for the reality of Christ in them, but in some yet future dispensation of time, when the fullness of time is already come. Your heart and your soul knows better than this. If Christ is truly in you, if you are truly born from above, I'm telling you something, listen to me. If you are truly born from above, born again, born anew, the Spirit of Christ, Christ Himself is in you, hon, and He will deal with your soul and your heart. And you will know in your heart and in your soul, there's got to be something more to salvation than I have gotten a hold of. There's got to be something more. You don't know when my heart knows complete satisfaction? When I see the Lord. When the eyes of my understanding are being enlightened, and that should become a state of being with you and I, walking in the light as He is in the light, it is then, in the seeing of Him and the knowing of Him, that's knowing and being known, that's the satisfaction of my heart, because that is an ongoing work of the Spirit. That is an ongoing leading and guiding and directing of the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. So the ones that I'm talking to who are truly born again, you know that waiting for some distant future event is not satisfying your soul. You know that as well as I do. I want you to be careful concerning anyone that tells you and that may make, oh, I don't know, certain kind, you know, even with I'm sure even with the, you know, the best of intentions, but making a statement. Having something to do, well, something like this, with the best of intentions, the Lord Jesus or Christ fills all things by putting His very own life into human vessels. He fills all things whereby we become the body of Christ. And this is true, but beware, be careful. God's first move in filling the universe with Christ is to fill us with His Son. But let us not mistake Jesus being in us with Jesus filling us. Now, darling, you can't have it both ways. Because of who He is. He is the fullness that filleth. Our need is not having more of Him, but knowing the much more of Him. He is in you. I read that little statement and yesterday, and it just, I just wanted to spit it out. Why? Well, when you see the Lord, you'll know why. When you, my goodness, you'll know why. I genuinely confess my need to know Him. But the one in whom I dwell, and the one who dwelleth in me, is fully, completely in me now, and He is in me as the completement of my very soul. Look at Paul's prayers, hon. That you may know the eyes of your understanding enlightened, coming in the unity of the faith, even the knowledge of Christ. And then right on after that, speaking to one another in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head. And then holding the head, knowing the head, sharing with one another in the knowing of the Lord, edifying the body in the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. That we be not ignorant of that fullness. But rather being filled with the knowledge of it. So here's the problem. And I dealt with this, I think, on one of the recent monthly CDs somewhere. I dealt with this, that there are many who seem to think that the knowledge of Christ and Christ Himself are two different things. Now hear what I said, that the knowledge of Christ and Christ are two different things. No. Because me knowing Christ at its best, me knowing Christ is not knowing things about Him. I mean, the all things that are in Christ, gathered in Christ, that which He is the completement of and the fullness of, those all things are not other than who He is. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, on and on and on, glory of God. I mean, we could go on. I've been talking lately for several months about the plurality of one. Not O-N-E-S, O-N-E, period. The Alpha, the Omega, who is one. But the plurality of one is all that has been gathered together, which means gathered as one, into Him. Pleased God. Knowing Him is the knowing of wisdom. It is the knowing of understanding. It is the knowing of God. It is the knowing of glory. Because none of that is knowing about something. It is an impregnation of the reality of who He is in our very heart. See, I run out of words to say this until I see something that I know is trying to say. That there are many believers who are not living as though Christ is filling them, is not living as though Christ, the fullness, is in them. But that's because of ignorance. That's because many do not know, and that's because, unfortunately, that knowing is not preached. and is not taught. Another statement that I found somewhere, I don't know, in reading things that I read, has to do with the New Testament and what the New Testament states. And it says that the New Testament states that the church is to be the fullness of him that filleth all. But, hon, I just read that to you a while ago. And Paul states there that God hath given him to be head over all things, which is just all. The word in all things is always actually all. Just all. Allness, all. Completeness, all. Given him to be head over all to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him. It's not supposed to be. See, hon, Peter, James, John, all of those at Pentecost received that fullness. And they preached it in part. They preached the part concerning he is the resurrection. They had not yet come to comprehend that there was still, that there was no distinction in Christ of Jew and Gentile. They didn't really understand that they as a Jew died just as dead as Christ did on the cross, and that he came forth in resurrection and now dwelt in them. Therefore, they were no longer a Jew, but a new creation in Christ. They hadn't understood that yet, but that fullness was in them. That very Christ, the resurrection, was in them, and they knew that, and they preached that, and it worked. They had to be confronted by Paul concerning the issue between Jew and Gentile. Understand what I'm trying to tell you? It's not more of Christ that we need, but to know him. To know him as the fullness or completeness that is in us now. And I've got probably 5 minutes. I didn't think I'd go this far. I want to read something to you. Let me see if I've got it here. Maybe I do. I think I do. Yeah. Maybe I don't. Sure thought I did. No, I don't. Well, then I'm going to read it to you anyway. It's Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. And I think it's verse 9 and 10 of Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, 9 and 10. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first to the lower parts of the earth? Yes, this is Christ in his coming as the fullness of the time. All right? But he that descended is the same. It's Christ himself. That ascended up far above all heavens. Oh my, well, okay. Why? That he might fill all things. This is in his ascension. And you know what the word there is? Do you know what it is this? That he might complete, that he might bring all things to completeness, that he might be the end, that is the end of, the goal of, the satisfaction of. It means that. I said yesterday, And I've got two pages of it here printed out, laying here on this table somewhere, and I'm not going to take the time now to go to them, but that I can read it all to you and simply show that's the definition of that particular word. If it wasn't, I certainly wouldn't tell you that it was. It is the accomplishment is another one of the accomplish, that he might accomplish. You understand, hon? No matter what he did on earth, from the time he was born as a baby to the time he ascended unto God, it was not, oh yes, come on, Father, I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. But he yet had to present it to the Father. He had to present himself to the Father as the finished work, as the accomplishment of all things, as the completeness of all things, desired, plan, purpose of God. And that's what he did. It's not something he has to do. It's something that he has already done. And he did that he might put a period to it, an amen to it, a completeness to it. Colossians 2, verse 10. Please God that in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and then you are complete in him. Honey, the issue is not really about me and not really about you. Don't misunderstand me now. It's about him. Not only what he did, but who he is unto God the Father. And that one is in you. No wonder it is the Father's pleasure and a great part of the Father's purpose. It is part of that purpose to show his son in his son's house. To show his son to those in whom that son dwelt and those who dwell in that son. To show to you and I our union with and our fellowship with the Father himself. Showing that to us in his Son. What we need is to know him. That's what we are talking about in every one of these sessions. Not as pointedly maybe as today. The reality of being in Christ. May the Lord bless you. We'll bring this session to an end today. If we can help you in any way with any questions or whatever, please don't hesitate to let us know. I'd love to hear from you. Phone call will work. Emails. A good old-fashioned letter. We'd love to hear from you. And we do appreciate those from whom we hear with regard to the support of what we're doing here. We're not just here trying to contain ourselves and trying to, maintain what... No. No, our being here is all about outreach. You're part of that outreach right now. And it goes to you, and beyond you, throughout the Lord's body, the potential for these sessions to be heard and seen throughout the body of Christ around the world. And you're part of that. We thank you for those who help us continue to do it. We do so much appreciate it. So, the Lord bless, and we will close with that. Amen.